This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, September 5th, 2021, the 14th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The land that was desolate shall be glad. It shall rejoice with joy and praise.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father and Son. Holy Ghost. Amen.
Those words of our Lord through the prophet Isaiah give us a heads up of something. No matter how bad things are, that ultimately we shall be glad, we shall rejoice, joy and praise. This passage, Isaiah 35, is a message of hope. You got to think about the people to whom the prophet is speaking. They're in exile. They cannot do what they want. They don't live where they want. They cannot worship as they want. And it doesn't get much worse than that in this world. And our Lord says, you will be glad and you rejoice in joy and praise. Our Lord promises them that he will deliver them. The Hebrews to whom the prophet Isaiah speaks should appreciate the promises of God. You look at the Exodus scenario. The people of Israel in bondage in Egypt, mistreated, same scenario as I spoke of before. They had been in that condition for over 400 years. Over 400 years. Generation upon generation of their people had been born in slavery, struggled in slavery, and died in slavery. Never knew anything else. But before Egypt, God had promised that one day he would take them out. You can get kind of down in the dumps if you see generation after generation living like that and think, man, he promised, but look, we don't see. Because we always look at things the way we want it. We always look at things in our own, the way we think they should pan out. But we need to understand that God does things in God's timing, that he makes promises to us that are unquestionable because he's perfect and cannot lie. And he's made a promise to deliver us from such things. The people of Israel hoped in that. As I said, the prophet Isaiah is speaking to people that are in exile again because of being faithless. They have been turned over to people that are in charge of them, whom they do not want. They are not allowed to go and come as they please, but our Lord has promised that someday you will go about rejoicing with joy and praise. It always panned out. It didn't matter how long they were in these situations, whether it be for 20, 40, over 400 years, God always keeps his promises. That is why we hope. I'm always pointing out, when we use that word, it is an apples and oranges proposition to the way the world uses that word, hope. I always use my quippy little, we hope that we win the lottery. When you say that, do you really hope you do? Yeah, that'd be a really nice thing. Is there any expectation that you will? No. There's no expectation that you win the lottery. When we talk of a holy hope, this is what makes hope different by definition than the world's hope. The world's hope is conjecture. The world, it just leaves it at that. I hope. That is not Catholic hope. Catholic hope is hope and expectation that what we hope for will come true. Why? Because God's promised it. This is what makes us tremendously different. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. It doesn't matter the lesser of things, the greater of things. Someone dies. Oh, it's horrible and horrible. Their sickness is horrible. And then they died. Now they're dead. For the world, that's a hopeless situation because I hoped they would get better and they died, period. I didn't get what I wanted. I hoped for it. I didn't receive it. For us, it's hoping that they may get better, but expecting that no matter what happens, that God's promise will be fulfilled. For us, if we lose a loved one who has lived a life of faith, or even something so horrible as an infant that has been baptized, for us, it's not a matter of they're dead. For us, it's a matter of hoping in God's promises that they will be raised and that we will see them someday if we maintain a life of faith and obedience, if we fulfill our end of the bargain. So this is our hope. This is why we approach death, or should, completely different than your unbelieving neighbors, is because of a holy hope. Hope and, not maybe, and expectation that God will fulfill the promises that he's made to us. This is why the people of Israel believed in his promises. You see, they believed in his promises, and all they had was an abstract promise. They had seen God work, but all they'd ever seen was what he did in this life, which should be enough to see what he did. Part the Red Sea, bring them out. They didn't raise a finger to be led out of Egypt. He did everything. So it was all about him. They saw it was always his works, what God does, that transcendent being that's in heaven. The prophet Isaiah, that's why I call him a prophet, he's pointing forward to something. Yeah, you guys are going to get out of this exile. God will bring you out. But there's going to be a day when, behold, your God, he will come and save you. But not just out of a bad situation, but out of sin and death. God himself, he's not just going to do things in this world. He is going to come down, and he's come down in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why, if they could hope, if they were sure that God was going to do what he promised them, how much more hope and surety should we have, because we know that he has come down. We know what he has done for our salvation. We know these things. We should hope immeasurably more than these people who had just an abstract promise. When the prophet says, he will come and he will save you. And after he says that, he gives a little heads up as you're going to know that he's come and he's here when you see these things. Prophet Isaiah. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf be unstopped, the lame man shall leap, the tongue of the dumb shall sing for joy. What was the gospel today? What was the gospel today? What did our Lord do? He did these things. He did these things. This man, he unstops his ears. He makes him speak clearly. And our Lord cured blind people. And our Lord made crippled people walk. He is the fulfillment of all these promises that pointed forward to him. How much more should we hope? But we know that God has not may keep his promise, has kept his promise. That's the cross. He has kept his promise. He's healed us both body and soul. That's what I always say. When we read these miracle passages, oh, that's really cool, man. He made it some guy who couldn't hear. He couldn't make him hear, and then he couldn't talk, and he made him talk. There's a more profound level to that whole thing. Our Lord opens our ears that we hear the truth. We're all deaf to the truth in trespasses and sins, but when we come to our Lord, he opens our ears to the truth. He opens our tongue that we will speak that truth to other people. He makes us enable to see the truth because we're born blind to the truth. We're crippled, we're lame, we can't progress in the truth. He makes us able to do it. He has done all these miracles, so to speak, to us, because it's much more deep than just physical. He came and he has saved us. For the people of Israel, it was future tense. For us, it's past tense. We know this one Jesus Christ, this God who came down from heaven and clothed himself with flesh, he is the foundation. Because he promised it, that all we need to do is hope in him. not conjecture, hope, and expect that what he has said he is going to do, he will do. Hope is one of the theological virtues. If you paid attention, which I know you all do, the prayer that opened the Mass today. We beseech thee, Lord, to grant us an increase in faith, hope, and charity. Those three theological virtues, which we do not have by our nature. He makes them holy. He increases them in us. He orients them to the heavenlies. Faith, hope, and charity. We hear it in Mass, and it's the only Mass of the year. A couple times that pops up in prayer. A lot of people around here, I would actually say most people around here, are very devoted to the rosary. You should know if you say the rosary, if you're devoted, I know you do know this, but if you just kind of started this, those first three Hail Marys that you say after the first Lord's Prayer, each of one of those, it's not there, hey, let's put three Hail Marys at the beginning of the rosary because that sounds really churchy. Those three Hail Marys are for Our Lady's intercession that we increase in faith, hope, and charity. So it's the Holy Spirit directing us to appreciate those three theological virtues. I was baptized and I got them then. I'm good. No, you're not. You always need more. You need more and more and more of those three things, faith, hope, and charity. When we look at those three things, we read the Decalogue this morning. Whenever you hear a thou shalt not, there's another side of the coin. Thou shalt not steal. That means you should keep your brothers and sisters' property secure. If you're sitting in your house and you see your neighbor's house getting broken into, I don't want to get involved. You're in sin. Okay, you need to call cops. Because you're not supposed to steal, but you're supposed to keep other people's and your own property safe. Thou shalt not kill. You shall preserve life. So there's a two-sided coin on every commandment. When we look at the theological virtues, the same thing applies. But I would actually say even something that we need to really be attentive for is things that are contrary to the theological virtues. For instance, theological virtue of faith. The contrary would be faithlessness, to be an infidel, to not believe. I don't think anybody would argue that to be faithless is a grave sin, right? Particularly for a person who's been given faith at baptism. It's a grave sin to be faithless. Charity. It's a grave sin to be uncharitable. And I don't mean like saying something bad about somebody. Okay, I'm talking like the big deal uncharitable, like the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man didn't do one bad thing to overtly. He didn't take anything from him. He didn't like spit on him or kick him when he walked by. None of that. He just knew that he was hungry, he had food, and he didn't give many. He was uncharitable, and he got sent to hell. So being uncharitable can be a mortal sin, just like unfaithfulness. So if there's contraries to faith and charity, what is the contrary to hope? Despair. Despair is the contrary to hope. We need to ensure, and particularly in our day, that we do not despair. I mean, life in its best of circumstances. Life goes on, people get sick, people die, you lose jobs, this, all. There's always the temptation to despair. We're getting punched right in the face. We got our own personal struggles, our interior struggles with our spirituality and our weaknesses and all this kind of stuff. We got to struggle with that. Temptation to despair. The world, oh my gosh, turn on the news if you dare. Here is overwhelmed. First and foremost, right, the church. Oh my gosh, things are, well, things have been bad in the past. Things have never been as bad in the history of the church as they are right now. Ever. Ever. Do we despair? No. Why not? Hope and expectation. Expectation that when our Lord says, the gates of hell will not prevail against her. He didn't say everything to be hunky-dory. He didn't say Satan wouldn't beat her into rubble. But the gates of hell will not prevail against her. We need to embrace that. So when we're confronted with the stuff that tempts us to despair, we just, doesn't mean we shouldn't get angry, and that's not always a sin. It doesn't mean that we should not be anxious within reason, but we can never despair. That is contrary to holy hope. Hope is so important for us. I pray that if you don't know these things, you go home and research them. If you got a 1962 missal, I know they're in front of that one, is the there's an act of faith, hope, and charity. And they're not long. Oh, no, not another prayer. The act of hope. Oh, my God, relying on your almighty power and infinite mercy and promises, I hope to obtain pardon of my sins, the help of your grace, and life everlasting through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. That's it. You pray that prayer, you get another little dose, little booster, so to speak, of hope. This is why we pray these prayers, for an increase in these things, because we need to get our hope shored up, particularly now, because our trust is in God. Our trust is in God and not anything else. It doesn't mean we don't trust, we distrust everything else, but we got to put most of our trust in God. The gradual for today. Gradual is the psalm that is read or sung between the first and second readings. Psalm 118. It is good to trust in the Lord rather than to have confidence in man, rather than to trust in princes. I love the twofold thing going on there. You can't trust in man, and that includes you. Can't trust yourself, because you're one. We don't put our absolute trust in ourselves. We don't put our absolute trust in what our friends, neighbors, even family do for us. And the twofold thing is, and in princes, that's the government. Does that mean governments are bad? No, they're necessary. God puts them in place for our betterment, but we don't put our absolute trust in them. We trust in the Lord, because those other things are fleeting. Governments change. Turn on the news. Things aren't like they were 2 years ago around here. They're radically different, okay? Whatever your position is on that, it doesn't make any difference. It just shows that it changes. What do we hear so much in the past 18 months? You need to follow the science, man. You need to follow the science. Oh, okay, that science that said when this all started, we don't have to wear masks. Oh, but then you do have to wear a mask. You've got to wear two masks? Then if I get vaccinated, I don't have to wear a mask. But oh yeah, you do. Yeah, yeah, I'll follow that. And I'm not chastising or you know, what do you, well, science isn't exact, man, things change. The gospel doesn't, God doesn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His message is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why, you know, things shouldn't have stopped around the church while we were doing what science said. We don't put our confidence and trust in that stuff. Like I said, it's not a matter of distrusting it. It's just we put our eggs in the basket of God, because he's unchangeable and immutable and nothing else is. We are not allowed to despair. We must hope. Commentaries on the Catechism. Christians may not rely on their own powers, on their fellow man, nor on earthly things more than upon God. Otherwise, he is sure to fail. So we need to hope. Christians may not despair. They may not give up hoping that God will help them in adversity. This is holy hope. And the dangers of the contrary, despair. You look at despair. It's a grave sin to despair. Catechism says that he who despairs sins against the Holy Ghost and against the first commandment. How do you sin against the Holy Ghost? He gave you hope. He infused hope into you at your baptism. And if you're doing just the opposite, that's a violation against what he gave you. Another violation of the first commandment. You're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Do you love somebody when they tell you something and you go, I don't believe you? You believe and trust in people you love. So to say that you're despairing when God has said, don't despair, and here's some hope, and just ask for more and I'll give you more, this is why it's such a grave sin. The Roman Catechism says, those who despair trust not in the goodness and mercies of God. You don't trust him. You do not trust him. Like the people, did the people of Israel in Egypt trust him? Did they, and again, they didn't know Christ, but they trusted. All right, so we need to be very, very careful about this whole despair thing. Like I said, mad, sorrow, mourning, that's not despair. Despair is questioning as to the church, oh my gosh, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have an expectation of that. St. Augustine, wind this all up. This is how serious it is. These are saints. St. Augustine, he who despairs dishonors God as though he did not believe in his existence. Like I said, if somebody tells you something, you say you love them or you trust them, and then you don't do what they say, or you say, that's not true, you don't love them. You know, like St. Augustine, you act like you don't even believe that God exists because he said something and you're ignoring it. St. Jerome speaking about the damnation of Judas. St. Jerome says, the sin of Judas was in despairing of God's mercy. That was a greater sin than his sin of betraying Christ. I mean, St. Peter denied Christ. He denied Christ, but he wept bitterly and he was restored to Christ. He confessed that what he had done was wrong. Okay, he knew that. Judas didn't. Judas committed the sin, and then he despaired of God's mercy, and he hung himself for it. St. Jerome goes on to say, he who sins kills the soul, but he who despairs is already in hell. That's a bold statement. We got to watch out for the despair things, thus saith St. Jerome. We need to do what the prophet says. Because the prophet, as he winds everything up, he says, people of God, you need to be strong and fear not. If he said it way back when he just had abstract promises, how much more should we be strong? How much more should we fear not when we know what Christ has done for us? When we know the promises that he has given, what we know the earning of heaven that he has done for us? All he demands of us is to love him and keep his commandments and be strong and fear not. In this world, you will have tribulation, not may. You will have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world. This is where we put our hope. In the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.